Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Novinsky. You might know me better as the husband of Christy or the father of Britton back there, the one who was cheering Dave on the whole time. So, Dave, thank you for your encouraging words. I really appreciate the way you just exemplify the words that you were using. So thank you very much, Dave. Have you ever had the experience when you're out someplace and your car just won't start? It's really discouraging, isn't it? You're there, it started when you first got there, and somehow something went wrong between now and then. It's awful. When you know it, somehow you figure out the battery is dead. You either left that light on or something happened, and now what do I do? Everything else in the car works fine, just the car won't start. Well, the short-term solution is usually to call somebody over, beg a friend, help me out, please. Have another car to come alongside and hook up like a set of jumper cables from their strong battery to your weak battery. Drawing from the neighboring energy and the power, your car is able to start up again and function normally. Well, the act of drawing alongside or of lending energy to get another going is a basic idea of a very key term in the New Testament. That word is to encourage. I'd like to look at the life and example of a man in the New Testament who had a particular reputation for being encouraging. His parents named him Joseph, but the leaders of the early church named him Barnabas, which literally means the son of encouragement. Barnabas was a person that you would, you know, feel good being around. Just a person you'd really like just to be around all the time. He was a man who believed in the potential of people, particularly those whom others were cautious or suspicious of. Think of Paul, think of Saul. Barnabas was willing to give a failure a second chance. Think of John Mark. And because of his predisposition towards encouraging people, the leaders of the early church gave him the nickname Son of Encouragement. To be a Barnabas towards others is to exercise a powerful influence on people. In terms of the root meaning of the word encourage, it simply means to put courage into. It means the imputing or infusion of power, of advice, or of inspiration that makes another person perform up to their optimum potential. I consider there's a quote by Charles Schwab, kind of a famous, successful guy, I guess. He says, "I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm among men the greatest asset I possess. The way to develop the best that is in a man is by appreciation and encouragement." So if you want the best out of somebody, the ultimate best, what are you going to do? Well, according to Charles Schwab, you're going to appreciate them and encourage them. Well, there's many things in life that cause us to experience discouragement or the draining of courage. Sometimes it's a crisis. Sometimes it's you're feeling run down, sometimes because of tiredness or some sort of sickness. Or sometimes it's the cutting words or actions of another person. To encourage is to do the exact opposite of that. Where courage has dissipated, encouragement is the replacing of or replenishing of that courage. It represents the putting back of what has been taken or is what has leaked out of us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about how we're all a part of Christ's body. And we each have different gifts and different roles to play as members of that body. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8 in the New King James, the NIV actually. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. It is your gift, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." In verse 8, it indicates that some people have a special gift or a special ability to encourage others. The act of being encouraging, though, is a responsibility we all have as followers of Jesus. We are all supposed to be like Barnabas to others. And I also think, personally, that God has chosen us and put certain people in our lives that we are called to pull alongside for the purpose of putting courage into them. Other people have done it for us, and it's in turn our responsibility to do it to them. So how do we do it? How do we encourage other people? What are some practical ways we can be Barnabas to people we associate with? Well, let me offer five specific suggestions. Number one, to nurture growth in others. By that I mean give credence to the fact that God is working on people, that their spiritual maturity is not static. People change and do better as the Holy Spirit works on them. A Barnabas encourager expects people to grow and to mature and to even overtake their mentors as God continues to work on them. Just as in the book of Acts, we know that it all started off as Barnabas and Paul. Well, Barnabas was really helping Paul to get established. He was teaching him. He was helping him along the way as he was learning the ways of Christ. And later on, it turns into Paul and Barnabas. Well, we need to allow others around us to grow and to mature and even take on those leadership roles. For me as a mathematics teacher, though it's often easier for me to do some nasty, beastly problem on the board all by myself, if I'm trying to encourage my students to be the best students they can be, then I'll let them take part in the work, even if that means a much slower process, some headaches along the way, and maybe less efficient use of time. I'll ask them questions like, well, what do you think we should do next? What would be the next logical step? Do you think that'll work? Will that work every time? I help them develop problem-solving skills and let them explore, learn, and grow along the way. As a father, we live in a three-story home, and I find myself doing different tasks and chores on all three levels. Wherever I'm at, I always take Britton with me. And instead of simply picking her up and carrying her up and down all the stairs all the time, I let her do the heavy climbing work, I guess. At first, this took a lot of time. It took a lot of patience. It took a lot of, okay, one more step. Here we go. You can do this. But after a while, she really got it. It just took a little bit of time. Now I think my daughter's kind of a pro when it comes to stairs. I saw a lot of people barricading the stairs over there. I'm like, oh, she's fine. She can do it. No big deal. So nurturing the growth in others is just one form of being a Barnabas encourager. The second thing I want to talk about is to use words of affirmation. In the book of Deuteronomy, there's an interesting challenge of encouragement. Moses, David mentioned, had almost mentioned this earlier. He was really close. Moses had been telling the Israelite community that because of their stubbornness, their rebellion, their faithlessness, that none of the older generation would enter the promised land. However, young Joshua was a different story. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 37 and 38, Moses says to the people, "The Lord was also angry with me for your sakes, saying, 'Even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it.'" In short, the people were to recognize the hand of the Lord on Joshua, and they were to put courage into him to lead them to the promised land. The same sentiment is echoed in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. It says, "But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see." The implication is that the people were to affirm Joshua. They were to speak into him words of courage, strength, and support. Joshua would then be emboldened by the encouraging words, affirming the capabilities they saw that God had given to him. Well, this is also a task that we can fulfill. We are to see the growing competency in other people and to affirm it and to express our support. You know the old saying that behind every successful man is a wife who believes in him. Well, great things are achieved by great people, and great people are supported by significant people in their lives who have spoken affirming words of courage and inspiration. Believing what people can become is a very Barnabas-type thing to do. My wife has stepped out of the room. I think she might be able to hear me back there. I'm going to embarrass her. She is great at this. Recently, we've had some opportunities in our lives. Just some things have come my way that I've been able to do. But they've required a significant amount of investment of time and energy and effort on my part. And I was really nervous about taking these responsibilities on. I said, you know, we have a newborn here, a young child. I don't want to do all this stuff and just leave Christy in the lurch. Well, she saw my interest. She saw the benefits to our family, and she encouraged me with some very loving words. I remember after hearing these words, I just remember relaxing. I remember thinking of my nervousness and my anxiety, and just it just seemed to vanish and just almost fall off. Where there was doubts, Christy breathed courage into me. I remember just thinking, why would I even question this to begin with? I can do this. This is no big deal. We've all seen Hollywood movies where these coaches have become famous for their pep talks. Some team seems like a whole bunch of losers at the very beginning, the first half. All of a sudden, there's this amazing talk, and whoa, these guys are winners. They can do anything, and they end up winning by the end of the fourth quarter. I don't want to give anything away, but they win. So almost every time. So there's a quote by Yehuda Berg. She says, words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement or destructively using these words of despair. Words have energy and power and the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. Using words of affirmation is a second form of being a Barnabas encourager. The third way is to encourage people to make lemonade out of their lemons. Whoever came up with that phrase was very smart. I love lemonade. Surrounding every dark and gloomy cloud, there's always a silver lining. Whatever the devil means for our harm, God can turn around and to use for our good, for his glory, as Dave said. The person with a Barnabas-type disposition sees problems as opportunities, not as disasters. In other words, the encourager looks beyond the immediate plan, the immediate pain, the immediate suffering, and can see what God is painting on the big picture. They lift the vision of people to see how even the disastrous circumstance can be used by God to bring good. I had a very easy opportunity to find an example of this. Many of you may have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She tells an amazing story along these lines in her book, The Hiding Place. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been imprisoned by the Nazis for harboring Jews in their home. The prison camp that they were in was apparently riddled with fleas. The conditions were absolutely horrific and beyond imagination. However, during the time of prayer that Corrie once had with Betsy, she heard Betsy pray, "Lord, thank you for the fleas." And Corrie just couldn't go on after hearing that prayer. She's like, "What is going on?" I had to stop her sister and ask, "Why did you pray this?" And Betsy lovingly explained from her heart. She said, "Corrie, don't you see? The Lord provided the fleas. That way, the guards will not bother us in our barracks so we can pray and worship freely." In other words, Betsy had Barnabas eyes to see the positive side of difficult situations. Being a Barnabas doesn't necessarily minimize the pain or suffering the person is going through. It's more than just being supremely positive. But in whatever we go through, there's always a bigger picture that God is painting, and a Barnabas-type encourager helps others to see it. Number four, what you can do is you can actually encourage people by telling others about how God is working in your life. When Paul wrote his letter to the Christians in Philippi, he was in prison. You can imagine the horrible things that happened in prison in his day. And on one hand, he could tell the people this sad, horrible, desperate situation and all the terrible things that must be going on. And that would just riddle them with fear and doubt and probably cripple them as a Christian community. But in the midst of his imprisonment, Paul was being effective as an evangelist, and God was using a bad situation for incredible good. As Paul told the story of how God was at work in his situation, it provided a powerful encouragement to other people that God would turn their suffering into good also. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So because of his encouragement to other people, they can say, you know what? I could do that too. Never underestimate the power of storytelling. When we hear how God has worked in the life of a fellow Christian, it raises hope and faith in us. If God can do it for them, it helps me believe that he can do it for me also. Fifth one, we're there. We've made it all the way to the end here. Number five, be committed to Christ's church and local congregation. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, Dave did read this. We read these words. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." One of the ways we encourage each other in the Christian faith is to gather together with fellow believers, to express that the opposite way, to stay apart or to not relate with fellow Christians, has the opposite effect of encouragement. It leads to discouragement. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Coming together with fellow Christians and being part of the body of Christ encourages fellow believers and their walk with the Lord. Like two burning hot coals within a fireplace, each gives off and each receives heat from the other. Separate the two coals and both will go out very quickly. One of the sad tragedies about so-called Christianity today is the spirit of consumerism. That's the "what's in it for me" mentality, or the "if my personal needs have not been met, then what's the point of me going to church?" In contrast, Hebrews chapter 10, it suggests that there's another reason for us to gather together as a community of Christians. It's not only what I get out of this exercise, but more importantly, what I'm able to give to other people. To put another way, having a low view of community, of the fellowship, of the gathering of the saints, is not just about me missing out. It's also about me robbing other people of what I'm capable of imputing into them. When we worship together, when we pray together, when we play together, I observe your connection with Jesus Christ. And when I see that, I am stirred up. I'm motivated in my relationship with God as well. If you stay away, I miss out. If I stay away, maybe you'll miss out too. You cannot be an encouragement to others if you're not present. For me personally, I'm encouraged when I see my friends, when I see my church family Sunday afternoon and Wednesday evenings. These are the people that I relate with the most. These are the people that I spend a great deal of time with. To see them sitting in their seats, you know, these people always sit here, these people always sit there. I always glance around, and when those seats are empty, it's tough. I know that you guys can imagine. Think of the times that when you feel that when you see one of your close friends not here, you wonder where they're at. Or maybe you know where they're at and you feel discouragement because you know that they've put something between them and God. For me, I wouldn't say that it rocks my faith when my friends are gone, but I know that I'm encouraged much more when they are there. In closing, there are times when each of us, our battery in life runs a little low. Encouragement means the coming alongside, the imputing of courage or perspective or attitudes that help us to stir others up, to jumpstart our lives, to help us to run once again. Encouragement to others is something everyone can give. Somebody needs you, needs what you can give. It may be your time, maybe your listening ear. It may be your arms to encourage. It may be your smile to uplift. Someone needs you. This time we're going to offer the gospel invitation. We find encouragement in the body. We find the encouragement even further with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was given as a gift to embolden us to have the right words to say in tough times, to find strength while going through tribulations, to help us along our Christian walk. If you want the ultimate encouragement, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can get it through the waters of baptism. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift. You receive it as part of your transformation. Your old man dies and is buried as you put on Christ and become new. If you would like to become new through the waters of baptism or have anything else to bring to this congregation, please come to the front as we stand and sing number 78.